Our meditation this afternoon is Proverbs chapter 11, and the subject is the wise is a soul winner. Look at verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There are two things in this text, and these are laid out for us with much distinctness in its two sentences. The first is, the life of the believer is or ought to be full of soul blessing. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Then in the second place, the pursuit of believer ought always to be soul winning. This should be the aim in our life here in this world, that we are witnesses for Christ, and that should be our main business, so to speak, in a spiritual sense, to be soul winners. The second is actually the same as the first, or much the same as the first. The only difference between the two, all right, the righteous is a tree of life, and the wise is a soul winner. The only difference is that the first head sets for us our unconscious influence, and then the second is our effort that we put in or put forth within the declared object or purpose of soul winning for the Lord Jesus. Let us look at the first. The life of the believer is full of soul blessing. If you are a Christian, a born again, regenerate Christian, then your life ought to be as a tree of life, meaning to say living. Let us begin at the beginning, because the second cannot start or cannot be carried out without the first. Without fullness of life within that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, there cannot be an overflow of life or a life of blessing to others. Impossible. It is of no use for any Christian to try to be soul winners or try to be a blessing to our neighbors, to others, when or if we are not bearing fruit in our lives as Christians. How can you serve the Lord with your lips if you do not serve Him with your lives? How can you preach, or how can I preach with my tongue His gospel, Christ's gospel, when my hands, my feet, and my heart are preaching another gospel, the devil's gospel, false gospel, and setting up Antichrist by my practical unholiness? Not possible for the preacher, not possible for the Christian. We must first have life and bear personal fruit to that divine glory. And then out of our example will spring forth the conversion of others as the Holy Spirit so work through us. So let us go to the fountainhead. Let us go to the Lord Jesus Christ and see how the man's own life, the Lord Jesus' own life, is essential to our being useful or as a blessing or as a soul winner for Christ to others. First, we glean from our text that the believer's outward life comes as a matter of fruit from him, or from him. And this is an important point to notice. The fruit of the righteous, that is to say, his life or her life, is not a thing fastened upon him, But it grows out of him. It grows out of her. It grows out of the heart of a true believer regenerated by the Holy Spirit. It is not the garment that he or she puts on and put off, but it is inseparable from him or from himself or from herself. True godliness, brethren, is the natural outgrowth of a renewed nature, not the forced growth of pious greenhouse excitement. It is not something emotional where you just get flare up or stir up emotionally and then it vaporizes the next moment. When God gives a new nature to his people, the flowers that blooms out of that new nature will spring forth simultaneously, or rather spontaneously from it. Under the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the heart of a believer, the Holy Spirit will regenerate a person, or the person who is regenerated by the Holy Spirit becomes like that we see in the account of Moses. It becomes like a burning bush in Horeb, which was all aglow. And God, the God within that man, makes him shine so that the place around him is holy ground. And those around him, those people who are around a born again Christian, will look at him, will look at her, and feel the power of his hallowed life. Therefore, brethren, those of us who are Christians, let us take care that our Christianity, that our faith is more and more a matter of outgrowth from our hearts, from our soul. Let us pray to be filled with the life of the Spirit of God, and our whole conduct and our conversation, our speech, be the natural and blessed outgrowth of that Spirit, of the Holy Spirit indwelling in the heart of each believer. Then notice also that the fruit which comes from a Christian is fruit worthy of his character. You see, we read here in this text, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So each tree bears its own fruit and is known by it. Is it not true? We know that this tree is of this because of the fruit. We know the type of tree by the fruit it bears. The righteous man bears righteous fruit. And so let us not be deceived or fall into the error that about this, that he that doeth righteousness is righteous, and that he that doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10. So saving faith will appropriate, will make use of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and so save himself by it alone. Yes, it is true. Saving faith will appropriate the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary on my behalf, and only through that I'm justified, for we are justified by faith without works. And listen to this very carefully. I do not want to confuse you. I repeat, for we are justified by faith without works. But, or however, the faith which is without works cannot bring salvation to anyone or any man. We are saved by faith without works, but not by a faith that is without work. For the real faith, the true faith, the genuine faith, the true saving faith that saves the soul works by love and purifies the character. You understand my point? If not, never mind. If you want to talk about it, we will discuss it later. I repeat, we are saved by faith without works, justified by faith, but not by the type or a faith that is without works. Think about it. However, let us also be very careful here, never to forget, for the Christians, that the fruit of our righteousness, though it comes indeed, or outgrowth through the work of the Holy Spirit, naturally, when we became a believer, and that's the nature of a newborn believer, and that it yields the fruit of obedience, yet it is always the result or the work of God's grace in our hearts, and it is the gift of God. And therefore no man should boast, I am righteous, or I am able to produce fruit of righteousness, not in and of myself, but it is the working of God's grace through the Holy Spirit that produces that fruit. You understand where I'm going? So keep that in mind. Therefore, no man should boast. Everything for a believer is grace. Everything is God, from God. In and of ourselves, we will never be able to produce that fruit. Even though that fruit indeed it outgrow or pour out or flow out from the heart of a regenerate Christian. We can bring forth no fruit except, as Christ the Lord Jesus teaches us in his word, except ye abide in me, or remain in me. You see, the righteous shall flourish. The righteous here, as I would like to make it clear, the righteous, for those who may not know, refers to the Christian. They are made righteous by the imputed righteousness of Christ. So the righteous shall flourish as a branch, and only as a branch. How does a branch flourish? By its connection with the stem. Right? You look at the plant. Where does the leaves and the flowers and the whole plant gets its nutrient? From the roots, right? From the stem. And so the consequent inflowing of the sap or the nutrient. And so, though the righteous man, righteous action are his own, yet they are always produced by the grace which is imparted to him, and he never dares to boast or to glory in himself or herself. And in the course of his life, as he lives his daily life as a Christian, when he fails, and he will fail, as we have mentioned this morning, the great struggle that we have, and oftentimes the Lord has to put us to that struggle, that difficulty, when we strive to live a life of holiness and righteousness before God and before man for the testimony of Christ, we fail. We fall. We falter. We do not deny that. There is no perfect Christian on earth on this side of eternity. It will be so until we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we grow in grace, in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, true. But we will not be able to reach perfection while on this or in this life. But But we are able only to do so. And when we do fail, I missed that point. Don't blame anyone else. Blame yourself. And if you as a Christian succeed in living a life of holiness that glorifies God, praise God. Thank God. Remember, the righteous man would not be righteous unless God had made him righteous in the first place through the work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit and the fruit of righteousness would never come forth from a believer's heart unless the divine nutrient or the sap within him had produced that acceptable fruit that is pleasing to God. So therefore, to God alone be all the honor and glory. The main lesson here, and today it will be a very brief sermon, I assure you. Alright, I don't want to keep you too long here. The main lesson of the passage is that this outburst of life, this outflow or outgrowth of life from the Christian, this consequence of life within him or within her, this fruit of his soul or her soul becomes a blessing to others. The non-believer will watch and look at us and will be able, as the Holy Spirit works through us, see that fruit of righteousness in our lives. And we will be a blessing to them to influence them or to lead them to the Lord Jesus. Like a tree, it yields shade and sustenance to all around. It is a tree of life, and it gives shade to the birds, to the fowls of the air. And so for the child of God, there falls the fruit of holy living, even as an acorn drops from the oak. This holy living becomes influential. It must be, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit that has that power and that influence, and it produces the best result in others, even as the acorn becomes itself an oak tree. And let its shade, as I said, the shade of the oak tree, give shade to the birds of the air. The Christian holiness becomes a tree of life. Christ in the Christian, and only Christ in the Christian, produces a character which becomes a tree of life. And so we ask, and so I ask, are you a fruit-bearing Christian that brings glory to the name of Christ? Does your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, and those around you can see that influence from you? Can see Christ's likeness in you? The tree of life is a heavenly plant, and it is alive, it is living. And so the fruits of the Christian is a thing of heaven, is spiritual. What is holiness but heaven on earth? What is living unto God but the essence of heaven? What are uprightness, integrity, Christ-likeness? Have not this more to do even with the heaven than streets of purest gold? I asked this before, and I ask again, is there a difference between a house and a home? Those of us who are Christians, I think you can answer that. And there is a difference. A house referring to just a house, either make of bricks or timber or steel or whatever, or concrete. But a home, when we use the word home, often we say this, right? After your work, after your school, where are you going? I'm going back home. we don't usually say, I'm going back to the house, which of course technically is not wrong, but when the home, why home? Because that's where my family members and loved ones are. So when we say that we desire to go to heaven, why is heaven heaven? Is it because it is made of streets of gold, pearly gates, no sea, no sorrow, no tears? Heaven is heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, is there. And I am returning there to be with Him. To be with Him who saved me, who gave His life for me. Holiness, purity, loveliness of character, these are the things that make a heaven within a man's own heart. And even if there is or there were no place called heaven, that heart of a Christian would have a heavenly happiness which is set free from sin and made like the Lord Jesus Christ. See then, beloved brethren, what an important thing it is for us to be indeed righteous before God. For then, if we are righteous before God, then the outcome of that righteousness shall be fruit, spiritual fruit, which will be a tree of life to others. It will influence others. It will be a blessing for others. And that life will have that growing desire to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are still outside of the kingdom. Because you have enjoyed that life and you have experienced that life, and your life right now has become a tree of life and produces fruit. Therefore, you will have that, and you desire those who do not have that, have not tasted of the Lord, you will want to reach out to them to be soul winner, to win them for the Lord Jesus Christ, to persuade them to come. You will, because you have tasted it, how good it is. And you want, particularly your loved ones, your friends, to come, to join with you, to taste of that tree of life through Christ. So therefore, it is very important for us, for the outcome of that shall be fruit, which will be a tree of life to others and a tree of life in heaven above, world without end. So may the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, make it so, and God shall have all the praise. Very quickly, I want to move on to our second head, and that is the pursuit of the believer should be soul winning. For we read in our text here, verse 30, he that winneth soul is wise. The two things are put together, the life first and then the effort next. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It is implied in our text that there are souls, there are those beside us. Souls referring to those people beside us, around us, our neighbors, our friends, our family members, who are in need of the gospel. All souls of men, women, boys and girls are lost by nature. Lost in that they are lost in sin. They rebel against God and they disobey, and they are considered in the sight of God outside of God's kingdom. They are the unbelievers. Wherever Christ is not trusted, those who reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who refuse to believe or distrust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we can say safely that the Spirit of God has not created a new heart in them, and that soul has not come to the great God of heaven and earth. And that soul is a lost soul, destined for eternal damnation. But then, praise and thank God, there is mercy. There is mercy. These souls can be won. these souls can be won. There is hope for them. They are not hopelessly lost. Not yet. God has not determined that they shall forever remain as they are. But they are in the land of hope. As long, my dear friends, as long as you have breath and you are living, as long as you are alive, and as you sit down here to hear the gospel, hear the word of God, it means that God is giving you a chance, an opportunity to turn to Him. You are not without hope of coming to Him. But the very moment you close your eyes or you breathe your last breath, that's the end of the story. You are not given a second chance. No second chance after you breathe your last breath and close your eyes. You will be immediately transported, your soul, to the presence of God and in the lake of fire for all eternity. There is no second chance for those who are in hell. Once you close your eyes and leave this world, that's it. Finished. In the Canadian language, period. Full stop. That's the end of you. And so now, as you are given the chance, as we see around us, those around us who are still alive, let us, brethren, seek the opportunity as God lay that burden on us, that they may be delivered. But we have to put in the effort. Here it implies that we have to put in effort. He that winneth souls. So what do we mean by the word win? For example, we speak of the bridegroom who wins the bride. And so in some respect, souls will have to be won for Christ in this manner, that they may be espoused, or married in that sense, unto the Lord Jesus. For Jesus, as we see in Scripture, particularly in the book of Ephesians, that Christ is the bridegroom and the church is His bride. And so we, as Christians, we desire to speak of the bridegroom. We desire to introduce the bridegroom to those who are lost, and to tell of God's, of Jesus' wonderful saving grace. Therefore, he who can succeed in this, to win soul, this very delicate and difficult task, is a wise person. Then the word win also is used in the military term. We speak of, for example, in a battle, winning a city or winning a battle. In warfare, we do not win victories by going to sleep, do we? No. To win a battle, to win a fight, to have victory in war, what do we need? We need the best skills. We need the greatest endurance and courage to fight, to overcome the enemy. And so, friends, if you think that you are going to win souls, you must, brethren, we must, as the text here implied, we must put in our effort. We must throw our soul into our work, just as a soldier or a warrior must throw his soul into a battle, or victory will not be ours. So, brethren, friends, fathers and mothers, as you see your family members, those who are still outside of your kingdom, and you care for their soul, and you desire them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved, to join with you, to taste of the mercy and the goodness of the Lord, don't give up. You have to go for it and put in your heart and soul and plead on their behalf. Every opportunity given to you, pursue it. Talk to them. Pray for them. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts. Don't give up, because God has not given them up. As long as they are still living, breathing, they have the opportunity. And you give them the opportunity as the Lord open or make the way for you to do so. Never mind if they get angry. Never mind if they reject you. Never mind if they despise you. Keep going. At least on that final day, when you stand before God, you can look at God's eye. Lord, thou knowest. I did as you lay that desire on my heart to speak to my children, my relative, my friends, my whoever. I did that. But it is they who rejected. And therefore, as the Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel, if you have tell them and point them the way, your blood or their blood I will not require at your hand. But if you did not, when there is an opportunity for you, their blood will I require at your hand. And so if you think you are going to win souls and you desire to see whoever, whether family members, loved ones, friends, neighbors, then put your heart, soul and mind to it. Pray and seek the Lord. And so you see here in Solomon declares here that he that winneth soul is wise. And such a declaration is all the more valuable to us as coming from a wise man, a wise king. Why a true believer or a true soul winner is wise? First, because he must be taught of God before he attempts it. The man who does not know that whereas he was once blind, now he sees, had better think again. Think of his own blindness before he attempts to lead his friends in the right way. What I'm trying to say is this. If you are not saved yourself, if you are not a true believer, you cannot be a means of saving others in the sense of pointing them or leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. Unless you yourself is a true Christian and as the Holy Spirit work in you and use you, then only then can you effectively point others or lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he that wins souls must be wise. Wise what? Wise in a sense? Wise unto salvation. First, you must be a born-again believer yourself. If you are truly a born-again believer, then you will be wise. You will be wise because you will be engaging in this one absorbing desire that the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, put it upon your heart. You will make every effort to share the gospel with that person. So don't give up. For there, if you do that, there will be a glittering crown waiting for you at the last day, and you shall cast it at the feet of Jesus in holy worship and praise to Him. Brethren, for those of us in our congregation, as you see these empty seats, as you see so many left the church, so many backslided, so many who are still outside of the kingdom of God, so many who are not interested in the gospel, so many who does not believe that there is a God and that Jesus loves them and saved them and will save them, let us take this matter seriously. Let us take up this matter practically and be determined to try all our best to put in our heart and our soul to win souls for the Lord Jesus. Pray and think. Pray and look out. Is this the person? What about this person? What about that person? What about those in my family? What about those in my extended family? What about my cousin? What about this boy, this girl? Then think, look. What about my neighbors? What about those in my Sunday school? What about those in my place of work? What about those whom I spend time with in leisure, recreation? Are they safe? Do I not want to bring the gospel to them? In your family, outside of them, and then to strangers, as the Lord opened the opportunity for you. So we ask, did you, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, did you ever win a soul for Jesus? If not, start now. Let us start. Let us encourage one another. And while you are still alive, and while God give you the time and the opportunity, my friend, if you have found life, proclaim it to the dead. If you have found liberty in the Lord Jesus, publish it to the captives. If you have found Christ, tell Him to others. My brethren, this must be our choice work. This must be our main business. And let it be the one object of our God-given life. Time is running out. Our life here is brief. The opportunity may not come. Tomorrow may not come for us. Tomorrow may not come for the person whom you are thinking of sharing the gospel. Remember, I think I shared this before. Thank God that he is a Christian. My friend back in Singapore some months back or last year, suddenly, of course we know that he has some medical condition, his heart, he has some heart problem. He is around my age, my contemporary. And he was well after the treatment and all that. But suddenly, to the shock of his wife, he did not get out of bed one day. The Lord decided to take him in his sleep. And so, my dear friends, consider this very carefully. While you have the life, while God gave you life, while God gave you the opportunity, and I pray, and I trust, and I urge you to come to the Lord Jesus while He may be found. The soul winner. So for those who are still outside of the kingdom of God's will, remember that faith in Christ saves you. Trust in Him. And may the Lord lead us to trust in Him for His name's sake. Let us pray.